It is part of human nature to have a particular love for extravagant gestures. This isn't me, but apparently if you read Hello Magazine, you can read about the extravagance of the super rich. As nations, we love extravagant gestures as well. You think about how we celebrate things like the Olympic Games or a royal wedding. But I think it's true to say that there is a scale of extravagant gestures. So if the super rich and the Olympics are at one end of the scale, then what I observed on last Sunday was at the other end of the scale, which was sitting in the petrol station watching people walk out with bunches of flowers for Mother's Day. So there is, I think, a scale of extravagant gestures. And Mary Magdalene, the gesture that she did to Jesus could be considered to be rather extravagant. John tells us that there was a dinner to celebrate Lazarus' return from the dead and a miracle that Jesus performed a day or so before. And it says that Mary took about half a litre of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And we can tell the scale of that. It's not like going to Boots and buying a £20 bottle of perfume, because the narrative tells us that this perfume, this jar of pure oil, was worth about a year's wages. So it was something very expensive, probably to be kept for part of a dowry or something. So on the face of it, she does something really rather extravagant and rather ridiculous. And we see that response in Judas. So now when you read John's Gospel, Judas gets a lot of bad stick for good reasons, but probably it wasn't just him that was thinking, what on earth is she doing? But probably some of the other disciples thought that as well. So Judas's reaction to what Mary does is described as this. He says, why isn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. So on the face of it, Mary does something rather extravagant and not very well received. But we have to take account of Jesus' reaction to what she does. He can see that she is being almost ridiculed by the people present. And he says these words. He says, leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. So what does this mean? What is Jesus talking about here, and what is actually happening? Well, first of all, we need to remember that anointing is something that is a theme that goes throughout the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament. People who were going to be appointed as kings, so King David, people going to be appointed as priests, and people who are going to be anointed who are going to be prophets for the Lord, are anointed. There's a ceremony where oil is taken and it's poured over the head of the person as a symbol that they are set apart from God, for God. And that, in a sense, is what Mary is doing here. She may not be realizing it. It might be an instinctive thing, but she is making a statement about who Jesus is, that he is the ultimate prophet, king, and priest. But she doesn't anoint Jesus's head. If you noticed, it said that she took the perfume and she poured it on Jesus's feet. The significance of this is that Jesus, unlike all the previous prophets, kings, and priests, is different. Yes, he is all of those things, but he is a servant. The servant king, the servant priest, the servant prophet come to serve all of humankind. And the third thing to note is that this is also a prophetic prediction of Jesus' death. those words that he says to her, that she would save this for the day of my burial, is a look forward to the Passover celebrations and Jesus' death on the cross. It's also a symbol of the events that happen after Jesus' death, in that his body is taken down and covered in perfume as part of the burial process. And the significance of all this for us is that Jesus is the Anointed One. When we talk about Jesus Christ or Jesus the Messiah, that is referring to Jesus the Anointed One. And just like Mary gave up something very expensive, basically all she had, for Jesus. And in the same way, Jesus has given up everything for us. Jesus, the Son of God, that John in John's Gospel tells us was part of, before time even began, that Jesus was with God as part of the creation, part of starting creation. Jesus, the Son of God, who had everything, gave all that up to die on the cross for you and for me. And we see the implications of that in the passage from Philippians. Paul says he was the most religious person you could ever imagine. He was circumcised, he was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, he was persecuting the early Christian church, and as for righteousness, based on the law, on the Old Testament, he was faultless. So in religious terms, Paul had everything. But he goes on to say that he gave all that up for Christ. He says, whatever were gains to me now, I consider loss for the sake of Jesus. Everything a loss because of the unsurpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. And he goes on to say, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. So there was something about Jesus that Mary recognized, that she had to give everything up for him in material terms. And then Paul later on recognizes that Jesus is somebody he has to give everything up to in spiritual terms. Because Jesus died for both of those, to reconcile him with God. And so I want to ask you, where do you stand? If you were in that room, if you were having that meal with Jesus and Lazarus and Mary and the disciples, would you be with Judas and the other disciples wondering what on earth she was doing? Or would you be tied up in this amazing expression of love that Mary did, to pour out everything she had for Jesus, for the one who was to later pour out everything he had for her? Perhaps you've never thought of Jesus in those terms, as the person who came, who was incarnated to bring us to reconciliation with God. And ultimately, the Christian life, the reason that we meet here Sunday by Sunday, is to know Jesus just like Paul did, and to give him everything just like Mary did. And having faith, being a follower of Jesus, means to put your trust and your hope in him, to believe that he will do what he says he will do, which is to offer us eternal life, and to look to him and not ourselves. And so I'd like to finish with an opportunity for us to think about that. If you are a Christian, then take this opportunity to give thanks for Jesus for everything that he has done. And if you haven't, then I'm going to give you, if you don't believe that, if you want to know and trust Jesus for yourself, then I'm going to say a prayer. And if you'd like to echo that in your heart, then we can do that now. So let us pray.